Okay, so we are on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6 lines from the top where Gary left off last week. Thank you, Gary, for taking over. So we're referencing this brisa that was just quoted before about some of the basically in certain scenarios, certain types of shoes, etc., are permissible. They work for chalitza, and some of them do not work for chalitza, right? So the brisa that said kaf hakita, right, talked about the possibility of a person using a prosthesis basically as a shoe for chalitza. So kaf hakita money. Who's going to hold that this is really going to work? Or whose shita is it that holds that kaf hakita works as an actual shoe, and if you use that, that the chalitza would work. So it says the Gemara, kav akita money. Who's the author of this opinion that kav akita, that using this you know wooden foot basically this prosthesis would work as for chalitza? If it be removed from the person, you know, from the person, it would be considered chalitza. Rabbi Meir, that's Rabbi Meir. How do I know? The Tanan Hakita Yotzei Bekav Shalom. Diva Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir holds in Hilchos Shabbos, not in chalitza, but in Hilchos Shabbos, that if a person has a prosthesis, he can go out. Someone who's a kita, someone who's a someone has had their foot amputated, they can go out. Bekav Shalom can go out with his prosthesis on Shabbos. It's not considered carrying, meaning it's considered part of it. It's considered a shoe, basically, right? It's considered just like anyone else can wear a shoe on their foot. So this the kav can wear his kita, the kita can wear his kav on Shabbos also. Rabbi Yossi says you're not allowed. So clearly, so it sounds like so must be this same opinion. Rabbi Yossi holds that you can go out with your kita on with your kav on Shabbos. So too would hold that it'd be permissible to go that using the same thing for chalitza should work. Okay, van pilya shel beged. What about the sock made out of just regular fabric, right? So who holds like that? That doesn't work, right? Look at Rashi. Rashi van pilya shel beged. The second line. The katani seifa chalitzasa psula. Right? Who holds that? So now go back to the Gemara. Van pilya shel beged asan l'rabbanan. That must be the rabbanan who hold that it is forbidden. So if you look at go back into that Rashi again, Rashi is going to explain why you have to assume this is the Rabbanan. So I'm telling you, beged the katani seifa chalitzasa psula asan the Rabbanan. This must be the opinion of the Rabbanan. Why? The pligyale de Remeir, who argue with the Remeir bekav akita. Okay? And why is that? Alma de loha v'minal, right? So it seems that they believe that this ampir shabeged, the sock made out of fabric, is not considered like a shoe. And why is that? The Rabbi Meir, because if you want to say it's like Rabbi Meir, kevin the kavakita havanal. Right? If Rabbi Meir holds, once you say that Rabbi Meir holds that kavakita is considered a shoe, alma va'an alcha tachash lo diek. Remember we had the drasha before that the language of anal was used by the word tachash, right, which refers to some type of magical animal that has a skin, that has a hide. Right, which was used for the Mishkan. So the or tachash. So if you're Rabbi Meir and you hold that kav akita works, it means you're not holding an alcha tachash. Why? Because a kav akita is not made out of leather, right? It's not made out of hide at all. So it must be that you don't have this whole drush in the first place. Okay, in which case in anpilya nami to have it now. So you according to Rabbi Meir, if you don't make this drush of an al-chatachash, right? So that was, what does that mean? It means you don't care about leather or not leather. And one of the reasons why we were asering that pilya shel beged was because it's just made out of clothing. It's made out of fabric. It's not made out of leather. So the implication here is that if you hold that the permissibility of kavakita is the shita of Rabbi Meir, then Rabbi Meir can't say that pilya shel beged is lesser. It doesn't work, I should say, for chalitza. So who's holding on pilya shel beged doesn't work? Oh, that must be the rabbanan. Okay, so chalitza. Okay, fine. So back in the Gemara, so we said, I'm pidush habeged asan Rabbi Banan. So Amar Abaye, so the Rabbi said, wait a second, me to say for Rabbanan, Rishonam Rabbanan. Right, but Abaye says, well, not so fast. If you're going to hold that the Seifa, right, you have this entire Brisa, right, is anonymous. There's nobody's names. There's no authors to it, right? So you could say that, you know, one opinion is one and one opinion is the other, etc. But it's a little hard to make that argument because it's all one long anonymous Brisa. So Sir Abaye says, wait a second, let's make this much easier. Right? I'm going to buy me a Sefer Abanan. If the Seifa, which holds on Pliya Shal Beged, is not good for Chalitza, if that's the Shita of the Rabbanan, make the Reisha also the Rabbanan. I mean, the Reisha that holds that Kavakita works, make that also the Rabbanan. So how's that going to work? So how's it going to be? The Reisha of Mechupa Or. It's a Kavakita which is covered in leather, right? So it has a leather covering, and that's why even the Rabbanan in that case would agree. They have the drasha of Na'acha, or, you know, Tachash, an Acha Tachash. So they hold you do need it to be made out of leather or some type of animal hide. So if that's true, then we can have, you know, Shalom Yisrael. The entire Brisa is all according to the Shita of the Rabbanan. Okay. So Amalei Rava. So Rava says, but wait a second. Ava'emachupor my puzzle. Right? If you're telling me that, then that means you hold that, again, specifically the kavakita that's covered in leather is going to work for chalitza, but if it's not covered in leather, then it's going to be possible that the chalitza will be no good. Yihachi, if that's true, adatani seifa bam pilya shal beged, liflug bidida, b'med v'ayim amurim, b'mechuba or, avayim mechuba or, possible. I mean, you don't have to, if the real distinction here is leather, not leather, right? So then, just say, if the kavakita is covered in leather, then good, it works for chalitza. If not, it doesn't work for chalitza. And if that's true, right, if the kavakita, which isn't covered in leather, doesn't work for chalitza, then for sure this asak isn't going to work either. Right? So you don't need to, if what you're saying is correct, that this is all the shita of the Rabbanan, and that the kavakita, specifically a kavakita that's covered in leather, then you don't need to tell me that ampilya shel beged is no good. That would be obvious, and I wouldn't even need it. So that's not so great. It's not going to work so well. So Ella Amarava Mida Resha Rabbi Meir Seifanami Rabbi Meir. So fine, you want to make it all consistent, I'll make it all consistent. The Resha, which is Kavakita, right? That Kavakita works. And that's like Rabbi Meir, in which case, not Machabor, not covered in leather, just stump. This regular wooden prosthesis. If that works, then the Seifa also is Rabbi Meir, right? If that's true, okay, then you have to explain to me why the Ampliyash Abega doesn't work. Why is that, sock? Why is it no good? So Rabbi Meir would say, Ha Muggin, Vahalo Muggin, because in the end of the day, you need something that's considered a shoe. A shoe is something that's protective. And we know that a sock is not protective, right? Go outside in your socks. It's not helpful. You still step on something and you still hurt your foot. So that the reason why Ampliyash Abega doesn't work is because it doesn't do protecting, which the Kavakita still does. Fine. So in which case, now we have, you know, solved the riddle, and we can assume that the entire Mishnah, that entire Brisa is a Shita of Rabbi Meir, and that's what's going on here. Fine. So Amar Amira. Now Amira says, Hai man da chalitz tzarech limchasye lekare. Person who's having chalitza done on him, the man, what does he have to do? He has to press his foot down on the ground. Okay? As it presses foot down on the ground. Rashi says, l'midchasei, l'dchof raglo bakarka, is to put it down on the floor. It's actually a big discussion in the post of what the reason is for needing to put your foot down on the floor. Is it because, one of the assumptions is he has to press his foot on the floor. Why? Because if his foot is up in the air and she starts taking off the shoe, what's going to look like? Maybe the shoe is just loose. And it just falls off. It just fell off. It wasn't that she was not. She has to do an act of chalitza. She has to pull the shoe off. But if his foot is just hanging there and the shoe starts to come off, so maybe he wasn't. Maybe he wasn't really securely on, and she has to, you know, and she wasn't really pulling it off. It was just falling off. Others say no. Maybe it's just halacha moshe b'sinai. But the point being, you know, putting it there according to this approach, putting it on the floor specifically so that it will be. It'll be, in a certain sense, harder to get off, and it'll be clear that when she's taking it off, she is the one who's removing it. But also discussion about how long he has to have his foot on the floor. Does that have to be for a certain amount of time? Maybe one day we'll see a video. They have like videos of chalitza. Maybe one day we'll get together and watch a video of a chalitza, see what it looks like. Fine, but the bottom line is that's what he has to do. He has to place his foot on the ground while she is doing the chalitza. So Amalei Rashi, La Meimar. So Rashi said to Meimar, "V'hatanya ben Omed ben Yosef ben Muta." I thought chalitza can be done whether he's standing, whether he's sitting, whether he's lying down. Even look at Rashi, and Rashi says Muta lav orcha lemidchase. Right, when a person is lying down, it's not normal to put your foot on the ground. If you're lying down, you're just kind of your feet go wherever they go. So, you know, if that's true, then this isn't really going to fit. So, answer the Gemara, no, Ema ula olam, the dach is lakari. Okay, yeah. He can be, his position doesn't matter as long as he makes sure to place his foot, press his foot on the floor while it's going on. Okay. The Amra Meimar, Haiman de maske alichsa de kare lo chalitz. And a Meimar also says, a person who walks on the front of his feet, meaning his feet have some type of deformity that he's not able to use it normally, so you can't do chalitza with him. Look at Rashi. Alichta dekare sharaglo hafuch vidoris belyono sharega. Right, his foot is, you know, whatever it means, turned backwards, right? And he walks on the upper area of his foot, like closer to his leg. He doesn't walk in a normal way because he doesn't have a typical foot. Fine. And Rashi explains, Klomar she'eno doris b'makom midras ragel. He doesn't step in the place where your feet usually step. Doesn't usually do that. So if you do it, so if that happens, so he's not allowed to. He has a foot like that, he cannot do chalitza. Rashi actually brings up the problem, but you told me already minar kuba. Look at Rashi continuing. Afagav this not minar kuba ulamata kashera. Right, as long as he has something below his knee, he doesn't have a foot at all. As long as he has something there below his knee, right, that's kashera. So how's that? No, hasam hu the kinachach raglo kimle shok, right? V'rachmana amar me'al raglo. He says, yeah, but that case, the person actually has his foot totally amputated, and he still has a leg, and we saw the drasha before, that the pasuk says it's to be me'al raglo, the hanu shok, right? You could even remove the shoe from his leg, even if it wasn't from his foot. Avalhai lav regalhu, but this is even worse. The deformed foot is even worse, to explain why that is. But it's even worse. It's like it's twisted. It's not normal. So it's hard to even take, you know, consider it a regal at all. It's not considered the status of a regal as opposed to the leg that has had its, you know, foot amputated, where it still has the status of a regal, just one that is missing the foot. Okay.
So if you stop right here and say that this guy can't perform chalitza,
yes,
he's the only brother, does that mean he has to do shibun, or there's no
or
shika
she's,
and
or she's
free
stuck?
To go?
Good question, right? What happens if he can't do chalitza? That means that he's not a yabam. Doesn't, I don't know. That's a good question. We have to see as we move forward. If he's puzzled for chalitza, does that mean that she goes free, or does it mean that she's stuck? That's a good question. Let's check that out. That's a good question. Let's check it out as we move along. Right, which would only be a problem if he's the only brother, obviously.
Right.
If he's not the only brother, then we'll be fine. But yeah, correct. That's a good question. What would happen if he was the only one? I'll have to see. So Amalei Rav Ashi Lamei Rav Atanya. Fine. So we said, Haiman the Maski Alichta Lichta the Kare Lo Chalitz. This person who basically doesn't have a normal foot, so he's not able to do chalitza. So Amalei Rav Ashi Lamei Rav Ashi to Amemar Rav Atanya Smuchos Smuchos haragalayim, and Rashi fills in the blank there. Smuchos haragalayim kshera, right? So someone who is, you know, basically, you know, not able to walk in a normal way, so he has to be held up, etc. That's going to be kasher. So and the Gemara, my lav the chalitz ba'yu, right? Doesn't that mean that it's referring to something that holds him up, right? It's a something that gives him support. Right, so it's a supporter for his legs, right? That works. That works as a chalitza shoe. So my lad, the chalitza by you, it must be that she used that for chalitza. And just lo, the yayiv leila achiv chalitza. No, so the case is, it's not that he used his foot supporter, whatever item this is, that used it to make a chalitza, but rather he gave it to somebody else who has a typical foot, and they put it on, and they use that for a chalitza, right? And by the way, according to this, you'd also explain our original case of kavakita. Right? What's kavakita? Which is it's a prosthesis, right? So how do you explain how that works? So what's the answer? Same thing. It's not the person with the prosthesis can have chalitza done, but rather if he gives the prosthesis to somebody else to put it on, right, then that counts as a shoe, right? Even though that person himself may not be able to do it. Let's just say Rashi would argue maybe because Rashi said before that's not true. That person's the status of a leg, the other person doesn't have a status of a leg. But that's a little bit of a hard argument, and I think something we should disagree with Rashi. But okay, fine. So the Gemara answered, no, it wasn't that he could do chalitza himself, his body is permissible for chalitza. No, rather he gives this thing that he uses for support for his foot to somebody else. So Amar, and they use it. So Amar v'Ashi l'maydeka Amar amemar lav bar uva chalitz v'lav bar kifuf chalitz. So Rav Ashi says, by the way, in case you're wondering, you just disqualify two people that we know from doing chalitza because both of them have deformities in their legs, and they wouldn't be allowed to do chalitza. Okay, fine. And yeah, what does that mean? Lamaisa, we'd have to see. What does that mean in terms of the woman's status? It's an important kasha. We have to answer that question. Okay. So now the Gemara, the Mishnah had said originally, right? Minar hakuba ulamata. Right, as long as he has some part of his leg below the knee, so that's going to still work. Should just unstrap it from his leg, and that would be enough. Which again continues to raise kashas on what we just said about the deformed foot. But okay, mina akuba lamata, etc. So says the Gemara. Ulamini regalim regalim prat lebale kavin. Right, so we say regalim referring to the shalosh regalim. Right, when we talk about that these are called shalosh regalim, the three times you go to Yerushalayim, that it's called shalosh regalim tachog. So that comes to exclude balei kavin. Look at Rashi, prala balei kavin shepetur min ariyah. Right, the individuals who are amputees, someone who's had their foot amputated, so they do not have to come do the mitzvah of riyas panei bayis. They don't have to come to the Beis Hamikdash because the language used is regalim. So what do you see? Says Rashi, Alma shok lav regalhu. And what do you see? You see that the leg is not considered a regal because it's called regalim. Again, the word regal, right, we always in English we say foot and leg, right? But in Hebrew they use the word regal, and it can mean the foot or the leg very often, right? And that's what we've been seeing here. So the question the definition here is what happens? What's the definition of regal, right? Is shok part of the regal or not? So if you say regalim prat lebalei kavin, so what do you see? You see that just having a shok, that's not enough of a regal, right? The foot is considered the regal, right? Okay, so that's a problem. And you just told me minar kuba lamata, that's still going to be fine for doing a chalitza. So answer the Gemara, shani hacha dechsev me'al ragalo. No, the unique status of chalitza that the pasuk says it should come in me'al raglo, from on his foot. Okay, says Gemara, ihachi lamala minar kubanami. Okay, good. So if that's true, then you can take the shoe off of any part of his foot and that of his leg, and that would be enough. So I can take if he doesn't have a knee, but he has his thighs above his knee. Maybe I should be able to remove the shoe from there. That should work also. And why isn't that considered his leg? So it says, answer the Gemara, me'al ve'lo me'al demal. Okay? Now it has to be from his leg, but not from the thing above his leg. Okay? Look at Rashi. Me'al raglo, mashem me'davar shehu al raglo, me'dalo ksiv v'chaltza na'alo me'raglo. Right? It doesn't say from his foot, but me'al raglo. So from even the thing that's above his leg. Right? So the implication being that, you're right, rego really means foot. Right? And shok, right, which is the leg, right, is me'al raglo. But the thigh already is me'al me'al. That's the point. That's the assumption. Which is, you know, with a little biology, knowing the skeleton, right? So that's a little fair. It's different bones. Each one is a different section. Fine. Okay. So Amr of Papa, Shvamina ha istavira ad ara nachis. Right. So what do you see from here? Says Rav Papa, the istavira, which is the ankle. I can prove from to you here that the ankle really goes to the ground, meaning the person's ankle all the way to the bottom of the foot is considered one section or one bone or whatever you want to call it. It's one piece. Why? How do I know? Right. If you want to say that there's actually a separation between the ankle and the foot. Havelei ihu me'al v'shoka me'al dema'al. Right, because if the ankle is like a separate entity to the foot, then what are you going to tell me? The foot is the regel, the ankle is me'al reglo, and the shoka already is me'al dema'al. Right, in which case I wouldn't be allowed to use the leg. So the fact that we can shows me that really they're considered like one. You know, it's considered ankle all the way down to the ground. Okay, should ask the podiatrist later to give us a explanation if this is true or not. But fine. It's funny. I wonder what he means. Does he really mean like a? Is he trying to give us like a lesson about in biology here, or does he mean some halakhic status of that? But either way, that's what he's saying. So Rav Ashi says no. I'm Rav Ashi. No. I feel the tame mivsek pasuk. But even if it's separate pieces, kol de bahadi kara. No, since it's on the ground and it is like parallel to the foot, that's considered part of the foot. So even though it's separate, it's technically separated, as we know it is. There's separate bones and joints there in the ankle. Nevertheless, it's considered part of the kara because it is, again, because it's so low to the ground. Fine. So let's just continue a little bit. I mean, Arkuba Lamana. I have, is it 622?
Yeah.
Okay, that says 622. Okay. Fine. So we talked Minar Kuba Lamana. What about the thighs, right? From the knee up, how does that work? So that we said until now that's no good, right? Once it's above the knee, that's not then the person can't do chalitza. So Mesa Rav Kahana Ubishalyasa Yotzas mi bein raglea. So we're gonna bring a bunch of proofs, examples where areas of one's that really are one's thighs are called regel. And that maybe in each of those scenarios, we should consider this considered, we should basically, to be able to prove that, see, really this is not correct, and really the thigh should be considered part of the leg as well. So we, one of the things that's talked about is referencing the placenta coming out of a woman, and it says, mibein raglea, comes from outside her, from between her legs. So you say, oh, so what do you see? You see that the thighs are really considered legs. I'm Rabbi, no, b'shasha koras, Leled no etzes ikveh biyarchosea violes. It's not true. When a woman gives birth, she actually bends her legs all the way back, so that when she gives birth, the child is coming out actually really from between her feet, her legs. So it's really not just from on top, and therefore not a proof. Tashma lo asa raglav v'lo asa svamo. The Navi talks about someone who didn't like lo asa raglav lo asa svamo. Is a nice way of saying that they didn't get rid of the hair below the pubic hair below on her body. So it says the Gemara. So what do you see? Bein raglav. That's called regel, right? So the area that's between thighs. So it answers the Gemara. No, lishna ma'ayach. It's a euphemism. That's why it's called that. But it doesn't really mean that. Tashma ve'avo shaul la'asich es raglav. Shaul went to clean his legs, which really means to go to go to the bathroom. So again. That's between the thighs. Again, lishna ma'aya. No, that's just a euphemism. Tashma ach masich raglav becheder hamakira. Again, same language there. We're referencing going to the restroom. So again, that's just lishna ma'aya. So that doesn't really tell me anything. One more pasuk bein ragaleha. Right. This is referencing Yael and Sisera. When Yael brings waves Sisera into her house. When Sisera is coming in the fight against the Jews, and she tries and she seduces Sisera and ends up being able to kill him. But first, he comes bein raglah. It means that he has tashmish with her. So that's that. Oh, so you see, you're calling that again between the feet. What do you mean? That's also between the thighs. The answer is no. Lishna ma'aya. That's also a euphemism, and that's why don't learn from there anything about the language of regal being thigh. Regal really. These are all euphemisms, and none of them teach me anything about the status of the thigh being considered part of the regal. We'll stop here, and we'll pick up tomorrow.